Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Eagles for Life Blog Talk Radio, Life Construction Zone. Not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, God. Send your spirit, God. We're asking the Holy Spirit to dwell with us in this radio broadcast. I want to welcome you this morning and thank you so much for joining us. This is Apostle Ernestine Cooper and Bishop Eugene Cooper. We're here to serve your spiritual needs this morning. As we began to open up in prayer, Bishop is going to come before you to pray and tear down strongholds, whatever it is that you have in your heart for the Lord to bless or that you need an area for God to move in. Put your mind on it, write down your prayer requests, and just get ready for a great move of God on this radio broadcast this morning.
Good morning. This is Bishop Eugene Cooper coming to you in prayer this morning, thanking God for another day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you, Father, for what you have done, Father, and where you have brought us to. Lord, we thank you, Father, for keeping us safe, Father. We thank you, Lord, for keeping us well and healthy, Lord God. Father, we ask this morning, Father, to continue, Father, to look on us and look on all our afflictions this morning, Father, because the many afflictions of the righteous, but you will deliver us out of them all. And Lord God, we just thank you this morning, Father, for your goodness and mercy. Father, we are not confessing that we have done everything that we ought to have done. We have failed in so many ways. But Lord God, this morning, somebody needs you for one thing and somebody needs you for another. And we know, Father, that you got all knowing and all seeing eyes, Father, there's nothing hid unto you this morning. And Lord God, we just thank you, Father, for your stretched out arm and hand to lay upon those, Father, that's in a need this morning. But we all need help this morning, Father. But glory to God, nevertheless, Father, we ask for your help this morning. Father, we ask you to come in like a flood this morning, Father. No, Lord God, we ask this morning, Father, we know that you're the God that got all power. There's no other God that we can call on this morning. We thank you, Father, Lord, and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord God, we're just giving you praise and glory this day, Father. We ask this day, Father, that you shower down on us and help us this morning, Lord. No, God, that we could go forth this day, Father, like never before. Father, we got to have a miracle, Father, in our lives this day, Father, not because of who we are, but because of who you are this morning, Father. We got to ask this morning, Father, that there's many needs, Father, that's all around us, all over us. But you said in your word, many are afflicted of the righteous, but you will deliver us out of them all. Father, we ask for that deliverance to take place this morning, God. Oh, Father, we are thankful this morning, God, that you come in this morning, Father, and give us a special touch this morning. God, we know if you brought us this far, Father, that you will take us the rest of the way. Lord God, we ask you this morning, Father, in all that are home, Father, we ask you to bless the parents, Father, to bless the children, Lord God, and all of the churches, all of the preachers, Father, throughout this land, all of the politicians, even those that sit in high places this morning, that's making decisions on different things and different ones this morning, God. We ask you, Father, to just continue to take control, Father, because we know that there is nothing moving except it moved by your power this morning, Father. God, we ask you, Father, for a special touch in the hospital, Father, for those that's incarcerated, Father. Oh, Lord God, we got to thank you, Father, even all of the doors, Father. We'd ask you, God, let them be open, Father. Let them be able that they walk their end, Father. No, God, and all of the things that's going on in this earth today, Father, that's not like you today, Father. God, we know that you have the power, that there's nothing too hard for you this day, Lord God. Father, we ask you to just look on all of those, Father, that just don't know the way, Father. Those that can make a decision in their own, Father, that not seeking you, Father, for your will and your way, Father, that they will be able to walk upright before you this morning, God. No, God, and all of the troubles, Father, and all the disappointments, Father, that's going on in different cities, Father, we ask right now, Father, to just move on it this morning, Lord God. Let everything, Father, come back to where it should be, Father. You have set it up to be, Father, that we all could be one, but we all could be one, Father. We all could be sticking our faith this morning, Father. Remember those that's in the hospital this morning, Father, and go just round about, God. Oh, Father, we ask, Father, this morning to just bless all of the preachers, Father. We ask this morning, Lord God, that the word come forth this morning, Father. Let it be breaking something, Father, in somebody's heart this morning, Father, that it will be about a change in their heart, not only just in the heart, but in their minds as well. Lord God, we'll be able to climb up, even just come up just a little bit higher, Lord God. No, God, all of the danger, Father, that's all around. You said that the 10,000, 1,000 just fall by the right hand and 10,000 by the left, but you said it shall not come nigh you. But Father, we ask you to look on those, Father, that don't even have that power this morning. Don't have the privilege, can't even stand this morning, God. We'd ask you, Father, this day, Father, let it be so this day, Lord God. No, Father, we ask that we pray, we come together this morning, Father, to just serve you this morning, that you may have your way in our lives, and we give you praise and glory and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. This is what we need. We need the Spirit of God. Amen. Thank God for Tasha Cobbs, Leonard, and Kira sharing that praise with us as Bishop lead us in prayer and sending the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are nothing without His Spirit. We don't have life without the Spirit of the living God. So welcome once again to Eagles Life Construction Zone, Blog Talk Radio. We're ready to serve you this morning. Want you to grab your Bibles and sit comfortably around your table or at home, or if you're in your automobile, just listen. Amen. As we begin to share with you, to serve you, we're going to serve up a plate of food for you this morning from the Word of God, from the book of St. John, talking about salvation and the kingdom of God. But we want you to go to the third chapter in your Bibles and begin to read with us, praise God, as we share in the Word of God. Amen, amen. That's the third chapter of St. John, praise God. And the scripture reads, we read from the New Living Translation, King James Version. It says, there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of spirit. Humans can produce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, you are a respected Jewish leader, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe it if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God, God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. Verse 20, all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do and do what is right and come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants them to do. I've just read for you the 1st through the 21st verses of John chapter 3. And our topic to you this morning is, if you want to see the kingdom, you can't do it until you're born again. You won't see the kingdom until you're born again. Amen. From John 3, 1 and 22. See, God specializes in finding and changing people that people that we think or we consider as out of the reach of God. You know, they're so full of sin, we can see other folks sin like Jesus did, but we can't see our own. But we judge people by their deeds, and God specializes in going in and making that change, just like he did for us. It took a while. Let's think about Nicodemus. Let's read a little bit about Nicodemus when we start talking about Nicodemus. Nicodemus was highly respected Jewish Pharisee, and he was one of the prominent members of the high council, who appears to have become a convert of Jesus according to the way the scripture is written. He is mentioned only in this gospel, the Gospel of John. But the intriguing thing is he saw the authority of Jesus and the miracles that Jesus was doing. So Nicodemus went to see him secretly at night in a serious attempt to discover who he was. He wanted to know Jesus. So Jesus challenged him with the need to be born again. You want these things, but you got to make some changes. If he wished to be in the kingdom of God or to be the kingdom of God, the gospel does not give us what Nicodemus said after that, but we do know that Jesus was telling him, this is how you receive the kingdom of God. You want to know, you got to do it. But in his own fleshy mind, he couldn't understand it. But later on, you know, we'll see if you continue reading the scripture that he did help Joseph Arimathea when he came to take Jesus' body down from the cross. Nicodemus, he came out of the dark. But God is always patient with us. There's a lot of people, a lot of saints or a lot of Christians, so to speak, or Bible believers that are undercover. And so God is patient with us, and he's always waiting for those that are undercover, those that are hiding and not revealing themselves. We call them closet believers. You know, they go so far, but to say, you know, you've changed and you don't act like we act. Or when things start looking like you're different from everybody else, these people kind of back away. So these are the ones who serve him in secret because they're afraid to be seen in public with believers. But the scripture said, Jesus said, if you be ashamed of me here on earth, I'm going to be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. So Jesus is our advocate. We don't want to be pretentious when it comes to our salvation, because the only thing going to matter in this life, we live and we move and we have our being. We occupy until he comes. We get things and we lose things. We have babies. We get married or not get married. We have all types of things going because God blessed us with these things. We buy and we sell. But the only thing that's going to matter is our soul. Our soul is going to matter. So to be secretly serving the Father is so unproductive for you. Glory to God. So Nicodemus, he didn't want to be seen in the daytime just talking with Jesus. So he thought, by night, I would go see him because he don't want to antagonize the Pharisees because they were watching and they were watching his followers. And they wanted any kind of reason to accuse Jesus and accuse his followers because they wanted him dead. The more I read the New Testament, I'm reading these scriptures for years and years, but I'm kind of dissecting them these last few months. And I'm telling you, I just wonder where people's head are. And it wasn't the Jewish people per se. It was the leaders. These were the leaders, the counselors, the religious counselors, the lawmakers, all the scribes and the Pharisees, rather. These people wanted him dead because he was healing people, blessing people, bringing them salvation and deliverance. He was giving the people exactly what they need. How could you want someone like that to be killed? I don't understand. How could you not know in your mind, even if it's your fleshy mind, you've got some intelligence. And Jesus would always talk to the lawmakers. You're so smart. You make the law. You ought to know these things. But they jealousy and animosity within them made them wanted to just destroy this man who says he come from God. And they had their rules and their laws. And if you didn't abide by these rules and laws, they didn't want to hear nothing else. Nicodemus, he really wanted to know more about Jesus. And I'm sure that this was not what he expected. So Jesus challenged him. One thing about the master, he always know our reasons for what we do. We can come to him on our knees, sitting in a chair, riding an automobile, standing, walking, whatever the case may be. We can come to him and inquire of him and thank God for the veil of the curtain being broken so we can go to the Father. We don't have to go to the priest and say, go to the Father for me. We can go directly to him ourselves. But when we go to him, our motives, he already know them. You hide your motives behind the truth, but Jesus already know even before you come. I love that how these people will come to him and question him, and he's reading their thoughts, and he's telling them, answering actually their thoughts, not their questions, because they ask one question, but they're trying to trap him. So when we go to the Father, he already knows what we have need of and what our reasons is, our motives for coming and asking for these things. So Nicodemus, he really wanted to know more about Jesus, but like I said, he wanted to do it secretly. And so he got a challenging experience on understanding what new life is all about. And he, I think because of what he did at the end, I think he really kind of was moving in that direction. But you know how it is. You got people over you. You're a powerful person, and you're trying to keep your position. And with Jesus, it's either or. Some things you got to loose. You got to let go of if you want to follow him. You can't bring the world with you. That's going to have to be a change. So if you want to see the kingdom of God, you first have to be born again. So I don't know a lot about Nicodemus because I'm searching the scriptures. They don't say a lot about him, but I know that after that, his encounter with Jesus, he was a changed man. It's impossible to have, and we still have encounter. We have the opportunity, those who haven't had a true encounter with the Savior, thank God for the Holy Spirit. You can have that encounter. And you know what? It's impossible to really have an encounter with him, to really come into the presence of the Most High and not change. You cannot be the same. There's something about the move of the Spirit the flesh is going to take a back seat because the flesh can't stand up under that power. So I don't know about him, but I know I got a feeling that after his encounter and by what was said in the scripture, that he was a changed man after his encounter with Jesus. He now has a whole lot better understanding of God and even the resurrection, because Jesus taught of it, of the resurrection, and even of himself. Sometimes when we come to the Father, just praying and listening and reading the scriptures will help us to understand understand who we are, because Apostle Paul said also that the scriptures, the words, is like looking into a mirror, and maybe it's not you per se, but you can find yourself in the word if you allow yourself, if you really want to make the change. There's no sense coming to the Father if there's not a change in your life. Our flesh wants so much, but it always wants the most of the wrong things, and our flesh is of the devil. So the things that we want is appeasing to the flesh, but it's enmity with God, because the spirit does not agree with the flesh. And that's why he said in Genesis, my spirit will not always strive with man, because they're evil in all of their ways, glory to God. And so he began not to see himself. He might have walked away, but I know he walked away thinking. And I can imagine that he had a lot of sleepless nights, wondering and pondering how he can get into this kingdom of God and then not antagonize the religious leaders, because he's trying to keep his position. But he said, Jesus said, if you save your life, you'll lose it. And those who lose it will gain eternal life with him. You got a choice. There's a scale out there. There's a balance, and it's balanced in the spiritual realm. You got to decide, okay, Jesus and eternal life, or my life, the way I'm living it now, and the things I want to do, or death and hell. There's a scale. Balance the scale yourself, and you make that decision. Because when Nicodemus made the decision, I believe at the end he made the right decision. So you can see the growth and the change according to the words of Nicodemus. Even when he showed up at Jesus's burial with Joseph of Arimathea, he was helping him. He was dressing him and Jesus with Joseph and getting him. He was on point. He was there even though he did it. You know, he didn't want to be seen by the Pharisees and stuff still. But he was there putting his hand in, I want to contribute something. When we really are serious about our connection with the Father, we may not have much. My mind goes back to the lady when everybody, all the people came before the church and in the center of the temple, and they were putting in their offering and stuff. And this lady only had 2 pennies, and she threw them in the basket. And all these other rich people were throwing in all this gold and all this jewels and stuff, and Jesus didn't pay no attention to them. But he took note of this woman that only had 2 pennies, because he knew that that was all the money she had in the world. And she put it in that basket. And it wasn't the money. It was the heart of the person that I want to be a part of this kingdom work. I want to be a part of expressing what I have for this gospel. I love this man. He's a healer. I believe that he is the Son of God. So I'm going to contribute all that I have. And she gave all that she have. And I'm telling you, I believe. Scripture don't say it, but I believe this woman was blessed abundantly on earth, even before she made it to the heavenlies, that the doors and windows opened for her, because he saw the heart of her giving. Glory to God. When we come before the Father, he sees our heart. Remember, those that were in Eagle's life at the time, when the Lord spoke to me and said, if you come to me and say that you had repented, and I look into your heart and I see that you had not repented, how then will I know that you had repented? And I couldn't understand. I said, Lord, what are you saying to me? But when he began to explain to me, let me know, if you say that you repented of something, but it's still in your heart to do that thing, you're still trying to come up with ways, conniving ways to get that thing done, and you know it's wrong, but you say you've changed, you're not doing it no more, but your desire, that hunger and that thirst is still there, then you still haven't repented of that thing. That thing is still in you. When you repent of something, it gets away from you. The desires. I remember my assistant, Minister Carrie, Eagles know her. She was our pastor's aide. And she wanted, when she first came to the Lord, she wanted to quit smoking. And I told her, I said, Miss Carrie, what you got to do is you got to make sure in your heart that this is what you want to do. And when you pray and you ask God to remove that, and he see that you want this off of you, he'll take it. And she told me that the Lord had lifted that thing off of her one day in prayer meeting. And she said, I could feel it leave. She said, I felt it go. I said, because you wanted it gone. And if you got something in you and you saying you want it gone because you know it's wrong, we know when it's right and when it's wrong. We know when things are wrong. Because you know it's wrong, and so now you're saying, well, I want this thing gone, but you don't really want it gone because it's still in you to do it, then you won't get delivered from it. And we have to understand that. That's, I mean, when God was, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and to all of the disciples that follow him, and the crowds that thronged him, and the religious leaders that tried to trap him, he was letting them know that what you got to do is your desire has to come from inward. Because when you come in my presence, I'm hearing your words, but I'm looking into your heart, and I see what's truly there. That's why he said the two commandments that he left with us, we obey the commandments of the Father that the Lord had put out there, but we still have these two commandments, he said, will fulfill them all. And that is that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and love your neighbor, your brother, like you love yourself. I mean, that those two, he said, fulfills the whole law. Why does it fulfill the whole law? Because if you love people, you will not steal from them. You wouldn't kill them. You wouldn't commit adultery. You wouldn't cause them to sin. You wouldn't covet their stuff. You would just be so happy rejoicing for them when they increase. If you love people, if you love God, you won't let nothing stop you from serving him. You won't let nothing stop you from living a life that is conducive to holy living. I mean, you will give him your all. Things wouldn't matter to you so much when it comes to loving God. He'll bless you with what you need, more than you would need, but things won't matter so much to you when you put God first, when you don't love your life, but you're ready to lay down your life for him. He sent his only son. We can't love like God. I mean, they loved that Jesus, oh my God, loved the power of love, oh my God. When he wanted to, he looked in the cup and he saw the suffering and he wanted to turn away, but he didn't. He said, no, nevertheless, let your will be done. Awesome, awesome. So Nicodemus, he was a ruler, and he was a distinguished member of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are a group of leaders, the ones that kept coming to John the Baptist before Jesus came, and John kept calling them hypocrites and vipers and told them, you know, who told you to come and run from the wrath of God? In other words, why are you coming over? You know you really don't want to be born again. You're just trying to see what's going on and save your own skin. So the Pharisees were jealous of Jesus because he undermined all of their authority and he challenged their views. They had a lot of laws and they took Moses' laws, the laws that God gave Moses, and they twisted them and they added more to them. And even to the part when Jesus said, the Bible says that men are to love their mother and father and take care of their mother and look after their mother. And you tell them to say to your mother, if your mother come to you in need, you tell her, I don't have it, and send her away. And Jesus was telling them, you changed the law of God, but you know, you don't follow the laws, but then you don't want the people to enter in either. So you teach the people to follow you. So he called them a bunch of vipers and whitewashed walls. But Nicodemus was reaching and he was searching. And just like when God told Jeremiah after he was judging Israel and Judah and punishment was coming to them and he knew the destruction was coming to Jerusalem, he said, tell them if they seek me, they will find me if they search for me with their whole heart. And so Nicodemus was searching. He knew in his heart that Jesus had the answers. We know that the answers are in the Bible. We know that God has the answers, and he sent the answers to us through his son, Jesus Christ. But there are things that we have to do to fall under and to receive the answers. His purpose for seeking Jesus out was to be taught by him. Some of us can't reach the gospel. We can't connect to the kingdom because we can't be taught. We're not teachable. It's hard to teach people that knows everything, got your own opinion, very opinionated. Well, I believe, and well, I think. The one thing we need to realize, if we don't realize nothing else, the word that is written in the scriptures are true no matter whether we believe them or not. God is still God, no matter whether we believe that he is the true and the living God, the heavenly Father, the great I am. He is the true and the living God. So whether we believe he is, he's the creator, he still is. Whether we believe that Jesus is the Son of God that came to the heaven through a miracle birth to save, to give his life for us, God became a human being so that he could save us, it's still true. So it's not contingent upon whether we believe it or not. It's truth. It's gospel truth. Amen. So we need to grab a hold, glory to God, and just hang on for dear life. I don't care how well educated you may be, you still have to come to Jesus with an open mind and open heart. when David saw that God was judging him in some of the things he was doing, and the Bible said that David was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because it wasn't because he never sinned. No, it wasn't. He did commit sin, but because he was broken, he showed contrition. He was contrite whenever he was confronted with how he messed up. Whenever God, he never said that wasn't me, or what about you? You did so and so. He didn't do that. He said, Lord, this is me. You know me better than I know myself. If I go to hell, you're there. If I go to heaven, you're there. Make my bed in hell. If I go to the uttermost parts of the earth, you are there. Where can I go to hide from you? You know everything I do is basically what he's saying, and God knows everything we do. So no matter how educated, we have to open our mind and our heart so we can be taught. We need to know the truth. And this is all Jesus was saying when he was going from synagogue to synagogue, from place to place, on the mountains, in the hills, on the rivers, on the oceans, teaching. He would tell them, I'm bringing you the truth. I'm teaching you the truth. So when he told Pilate, Pilate said, what is truth? And he just walked away. He didn't understand, but he still knew that this man, Jesus, was not a criminal. There was no reason for them to send him to his death because he did no wrong. But he still wanted to know the truth. So Jesus said, I came to teach you the truth. I'm telling you today, this morning, if you want to see the kingdom or be a part of the kingdom, you have to be born again. You have to do like Nicodemus. He came to Jesus personally. That's why I always say serving God has to be personal. And you can't do it because mama did it, daddy did it, cousin Aunt Bessie, Uncle Sue, Aunt Sue, Uncle Billy, all of them. You can't do it because my family church and my dad, my granddaddy was a preacher, my auntie was a preacher. You can't do it because it has to be a personal thing with you. That way, when you do go into the church, you're going there to see the Father. You're going there looking for Jesus. You're going to have that personal relationship. And all of the other idiosyncrasies that you see going on, that they won't move you. Why? Because you're not looking for man, you're not looking for people, but you're searching for the Most High. Glory to God. He was, Nicodemus was a man in authority, and he could have sent anybody. He could have just picked somebody and say, okay, go follow the teacher and write down everything he says and come back and tell me. He could have sent somebody else, but he wanted to seek the Lord for himself. He understood that if I send somebody before me, they're not going to have that relationship for me. That relationship won't be for them. That's going to be in their heart. The word is in their heart. When I read the scriptures, it's for my heart. It's for my growth and stuff. I can teach it to you, but except you go in there and grab it for yourself, it's not going to benefit you nothing. You're searching the scriptures. Is going to be for you. Your body, you're going to be fed the word of God. You're going to be fed from the scriptures, glory to God. And it's like food, it gets into you. Let's pause for a minute and search Jeremiah chapter 29. Not the whole chapter. I just want to cover, because we need to go to verse 13 and read the whole thing, but no. Verse 13 says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Verse 14 says, I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you, and I will bring you home again to your own land. I will put you in a place. And this is what he said to Israel, the same loving God. When Jesus came, he said, I came for Israel. I came for the lost sheep, and for anyone who would call my Father, Father, anyone that will believe in me. So he said, if you search for me with your whole heart, you'll find me, and I'll be there for you. And so although Nicodemus came secretly, and like I said, probably because he was afraid to be seen openly with Jesus, but he went. Doesn't matter how he came, he went. Some people come praying, some people come crying, screaming, shouting, but they come. I know I need more. I tried everything. I've been everywhere. Nothing ain't working for me. I need more. So they come seeking the Lord. So you got to seek the Lord for yourself. You got to read, like I said, your Bible daily. You got to study the contents of it. Don't just read it. Pray for understanding and keep reading. Even if you don't get the understanding right there, keep reading. Do your research. Find out the topical things. Don't just go in there and start reading. Glory to God. And attend your church services and be taught by your leaders, the ones, the spiritual leaders that God put over you so that you can hear the word and grow. When you find his truth, it'll completely change you. And that's how we find the truth. We don't go by what other folks say. We get that scripture and read it. Man, I remember when I first got saved, before I got saved, I just had a hunger and a thirst to know this God that's in the Bible, this God that we're thinking of and learning of. And I read these words. I would read and read and read and pray and pray and pray until I finally began to seek him and became born again. And I got into that. And then the words began to become life to me when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. You got to be searching. That's why he told Jeremiah, tell them, if they search for me with their whole heart, I had my whole heart into this thing, glory to God. And it was new to me, but I wanted more. Sure, I was a church goer, but I didn't have the church on the inside of me. I didn't have the word on the inside of me. It was just something to do, glory to God. But then when it got to be real on the inside, when it got to be personal, when you find his truth, glory to God, it will completely change you, change your heart, and change your mind, praise God, amen. Your spiritual growth can only come by getting close to God. You can get close to other people, but it ain't going to get you. It's always going to be because, see, that what we fail to understand is when God breathed the breath of life into man, he put some of himself into us. And so no matter, we can go to the hills, we can go to the valleys, down under the ocean, leaves under the sea. We can go as far as the earth will take us and end up right back to where we are. But we'll still be hungering and thirsting for that relationship with God. A lot of people say, well, I'm atheist, I don't believe in God. Why? Because they're afraid. They don't want to trust anything but themselves. They don't want to know and understand that there is a being that created you. I mean, that the earth didn't just fall out the sky and we didn't just drop out. A God that did what he did to us and created us the way he did, so amazing. We are amazing beings. We're all different, but we're amazing. We're made after him. Our organs, and I mean, there are some organs that the doctors, he gave them knowledge. And I don't know how they think that this knowledge comes from themselves, but it has to come from the Father, because they can go in and cut some parts out of you and you still breathing and living, the parts that God gave you to live with, and you're still going around living your life because those parts are missing. They know which ones to take and not to, and they didn't get that knowledge just because they were born with it. It had to come from the Father. I went to XYZ Medical School for 15, 20 years. It doesn't matter. I did my research. I don't care. The knowledge still came from the Father. The books were written by someone that were inspired by the Father. Physicians, heal yourself, is what the scripture says. So God gave our doctors the knowledge, as well as he gave us our foods that we eat. And I'm not talking about this processed food that they done took to the lab and processed for us, but to grow our foods and eat it, to raise our animals, the meat that we supposed to eat, and eat it, the fish, and eat our fish. He gave us this food to eat to keep our bodies healthy, but we eat everything that's edible, that tastes good, and it's the flesh that doing that. I know I love sweets, but thank God the Lord has taken me away from that. But so because my flesh desire it, and it's not good for me. These things that we do to ourselves, I mean, this God, how could you not trust in a God that has given us so much? And yet, listen, yet he's so patient. Every day I wake up, I say, Father, thank you for another chance to say yes. Another chance to follow your will. I might have said no yesterday, but I'm still alive today, and I can say yes. I might have messed up yesterday, but I'm still alive today, and I can repent for that. Glory to God. Amen. We don't lie down without repenting and giving God glory before we go to sleep at night. But still, it could be his charge to call you home in the middle of your sleep. But if he allows you to wake up the next day, at least give him credit for that. Some people think that when my husband woke me up, my wife woke me up, or her alarm woke me up, I heard a noise and I jumped up. If your spirit leave your body, if your soul is gone, I don't care how much noise go on around you and how your wife or husband shake you and a alarm clock go off, you will not wake up. We have to give him the glory for that. Glory to God. And so Nicodemus went to Jesus because he needed a spiritual growth. Even though he worked closely, he was a religious leader, and he worked closely with the rulers, and he was a ruler, and he worked closely with the religious leaders, but still, he knew that Jesus was telling the truth, that there was something about this man and the words that he was speaking that we don't know, something that we didn't get. And he has authority. He's speaking with authority. He ain't playing, glory to God. Amen. So he knew this, glory to God. When you become a real believer, no one can stop you from speaking up for Christ, just like Nicodemus did. He spoke up for him. Nicodemus knew of God. He had a zeal of God. But like most people today, like I said earlier, he had no real knowledge of God. So he just, you know, touching a little basis. But he wanted the knowledge. He knew from the scriptures that the kingdom would be ruled by God, that new kingdom that Revelation 22 and 21 talks about, restored on earth and inhabited by the people of God. But he did not know God. That's what Jesus said. I came to introduce you. Remember he said in the scriptures I read earlier, no man came up to heaven. Nobody knows up to heaven, went to heaven and came back. But the Son of Man came down from heaven. Why did he come down? He said, I came down to show you the Father. But these folks look on the Father when he say that. Now they want to kill him. What? You made yourself equal with God? When you tell them, when you see me, you see the Father. Glory to God. Jesus opened a deeper knowledge for Nicodemus that the kingdom of God will come to the whole world, not just for the Jews, but for the whole entire world. But he would not be a part of the kingdom unless he is born again. Telling you, if you want to see the kingdom, you have to be born again. Listen, the kingdom of God is personal. It's not national. It's not ethnic. And it's not an entrance requirement there. The only entrance requirement are two, and that's repentance and spiritual rebirth. Repent means to turn away from your sin. Saying, I'm sorry, people are so confused. Oh, I'm so sorry, I did that. That's not repentance. Repentance means I'm not going to do that again. I'm sorry for doing it, and I'm not. If it takes me going in a different direction not to do that again and not to let it happen again in my life, that's what I'm going to do. If all my friends are crackheads, drug addicts, or liars, thieves, whoremongers, I'm going to get some new friends. Get me some new friends. Spiritual rebirth. Being born again, that's where your spiritual rebirth is, accepting Christ as your Savior and start to seek God. You have to be born again. Get baptized with water, like the Bible says. And it's not going to clean your soul. What you do after that is what clean your soul. You got to keep feeding the Spirit the Word of God. In Revelation chapters 21 and 22, it teaches that the kingdom of God has already begun in the heart of the Christian believers. But we will come to the realization when Jesus comes back on that second time to judge the world and abolish all evil forever. Those that have been studying in our Bible study with us, you've been getting a touch of what's been going on in the book of Revelation. We've been opening up some knowledge in that. Glory to God. But water baptism is obedience, and it should bring a spiritual change. Born of water and of spirit is what Jesus said. Jesus was making it perfectly clear that people don't enter the kingdom by trying to live better. Oh, I don't lie no more. I don't smoke no more. And I don't drink. I don't whoremongerize. And I don't change. I don't cuss no more. You got to still be born again. If you're cussing, born again, you still got to be born again. It's impossible to live a changed or better life anywhere in any way without a spiritual rebirthing. Apostle Paul said we have to be transformed in Romans 12. He said you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is he saying? I don't care. Like people say, well, if I don't see it, I don't believe it. What is that? That's foolishness. A lot of stuff we don't see, we believe it. You don't see that paycheck on Friday, but those folks told you they were going to pay you, so you believe that. So you're working hard all week long to make sure you get that paycheck on Friday. You didn't see that, did you? But you believed it. I mean, this is foolishness. And so we have to understand that God himself has sent a presence, and it doesn't change. It was God's spirit inside of Jesus as a human man, just that he that so that he being sinless, remember I said sinless and spotless, could die for our sins. He was clean. He had no guile in him. There was no filth in him. Jesus rose from the dead to offer salvation, to sacrifice his life for all people everywhere, not just certain groups or ethnic groups or nations or whatever, but all people, anyone that will receive him through spiritual renewal and spiritual rebirth. When Jesus went to heaven, he left the earth physically. But as he promised, he left the Holy Spirit. So his spiritual presence would still be among us, among mankind. And so in the old days, the Holy Spirit fell on certain people for certain purposes. But today, and since the resurrection of Jesus, today, and all born-again Christians, all that accept Christ into their life, have the power of the Holy Spirit available to them. He won't force you, but you have to receive, believe it, and receive it. We cannot control the works of the Holy Spirit. He works in ways that we cannot even predict, but or even understand it. But the Holy Spirit has the mind of God because it comes from God. So just like, you know, we cannot control our physical birth. We cannot control our spiritual birth. It's a gift from God through the Holy Spirit. You probably know someone, or you know of someone, somebody you think that God cannot change. You have given up hope that they will ever change. Or maybe you feel that way about your own self. Who knows? But don't assume that anyone is beyond God's reach. He's God. He's the creator. He created them. He knows about that. When Jesus said, can you even count the hairs on your head? God knows the number of hairs on our head. God can and will change anyone, anybody who have a desire to be changed. He won't force you. But if you have that desire, I promise you the change will come. You cannot come in contact with God and remain the same. God may touch those who you think are untouchable. If you want to see the kingdom, you must be born again. Nicodemus knew the Old Testament. When he came to Jesus, he called him teacher. He knew the Old Testament very well, through and through. But he did not quite understand what it said about the Messiah. Knowledge is not salvation. Knowing something, like they used to say on that commercial, knowing it and doing it is two different things. Knowing something is not salvation. You have to act. When the Bible says faith comes by works, he ain't talking about working and, you know, being nice to people and all that kind of stuff. Work out your salvation. What is he talking about? Believe it. Act on it. Don't let nobody change your mind. I know who I am in Christ. I know who Christ is. If you don't validate me, I don't need you to validate me. Jesus said if I was to be witness to myself, is my witness true? He said, but I don't have to be a witness for myself because the Holy Spirit is a witness for me. And he said, John was a witness for me. Did you believe John? I don't need you to validate who I am in Christ. Glory to God. So knowledge ain't always going to be just because you got a degree or two or three degrees. I have degrees too, but just because you got two or three degrees from some big Bible college still don't mean nothing to your salvation. You must know the Bible, but more important, you must understand the God of the Bible. Let me say that again. You must know the Bible, but most important is from the Bible, you must understand the God of the Bible and the salvation that he freely offers to us through his son, Jesus Christ. When Israel were wandering in the wilderness, in the book of Exodus, God sent a plague of serpents to punish them for their rebellious attitude. I mean, a God that delivered them from 400 years of bondage. I mean, covered them, blessed them, destroyed their enemies and right before their face. And they still kept turning and rebelling against him, looking for idol gods and all this kind of stuff. So he had God sent a plague on them, a plague of serpents to punish them for their rebellious attitude. But they could be healed if they took Moses. He had Moses to make a bronze, that have the craftsmen to make a bronze serpent. And all they had to do was look up to the serpent that God had them to make, had the craftsmen to make. And they will be healed. But they were disobedient, some of them. Those who were obedient, they looked up and they believed and they were healed. But in essence, those who didn't, they were not. We are saved when we look up to Jesus, because Jesus himself said, just like the servant, Moses lifted up the servant and healed, the people were healed. If we look up, he said, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all men unto me. In other words, if the Father accept my sacrifice for your sins, then your obedience and your belief in me is going to draw you close to the Father. God has made a way for us to be healed of our sins. The deadly sting of death. Glory to God. He's made a way for us to be healed from that. This is the epitome of the entire gospel hanging on this one verse. God's love, verse 16, through John 3:16. God's love is not self-centered. It reaches out and it draws others in. Here, God has set the pattern for true love. True love. The basis for our all love relationships. The Bible said God is love. And he who loveth not knoweth not God. When you love someone as God loves us, you are willing to freely give even the point of self-sacrifice to the Father. He said, if you hold your life, you'll lose it. But if you give your life for me, you'll gain eternal life. Sometimes we're so selfish and self-centered. We don't want nothing, put nothing before ourselves. God paid the ultimate price with his own life in the form of a man, his son, Jesus. The life of his own son, his one and only begotten son. And Jesus, his son, accepted his purpose. He kept telling the disciples all through his travels, I'm here for a reason. They were so glad to be with him. They didn't want him to leave because of the miracles and because they felt so powerful and prestigious with him. And he gave them the power to perform miracles. So they didn't want him to leave, but he told them, I have a purpose here. I'm going to suffer. But if I don't suffer and if I don't go away, you won't have the comforter. And it'll be too bad for you on this earth trying to live without the Holy Spirit. I came here to save you. You won't have a place in heaven if I don't die, if I don't go through the suffering. Glory to God. God has set the pattern for true love. When you love someone as God loves us, this is how you do it. Freely, willingly, commit yourself to the Father. He paid the price. And Jesus, his son, accepted. We're so glad about that. He himself, he took our punishment. He paid the price of our sins. His offering was the most powerful, the most valuable gift that can be given to God. There's no other gift. That's it. When he was done, he said, it's finished. It was done. He gave us new life. He bought that for us. He paid for that for us with his own blood, with his own suffering. And he didn't even know sin. He didn't do sin. He was not a sinner. Truth. He is truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When Nicodemus came to him in the closet, wanted to know what's going on, tell me how I can get eternal life. He said, you must be born again. Looking at him coming, he felt him coming. He felt his mind. He's so in tune with God that he sees everything. And he come to him. We did want to be born again, but he wasn't ready to walk away from his worldly connections, his power, his prestige, his best friends, and all. He didn't want to give up on this stuff. I want to be born again. I want to have that connection. But I'm a Pharisee. I'm a lawmaker. I'm a ruler. You know, I'm sitting in the high places. Eternal life is not an extension of our miserable mortal lives, but eternal life is God's embodied life in Christ, and he gave it to those who believe. He guaranteed from that sacrifice that we will live forever with him in eternity. If you want to see the kingdom, you must be born again. If you want to have that new life in Christ, God has already paid it. He already bought it. We don't have to do nothing but accept and believe. When Jesus was walking with the crowds and one of the soldiers' son daughter was sick and he came for prayer, and one of the soldiers, he asked Jesus to come to his house and lay hands on his daughter. But while they were coming, the child died, and so they thought. And they came to him and said, "Don't trouble the master, because your daughter's dead. You know, there's no hope. No, you know, let's just move on. It's funeral time." I'm paraphrasing it. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Don't be afraid. Only believe." We're afraid of so much today, but our pride won't allow us to admit that we are. We don't have to be afraid if we believe. Life is only given to us, Shabbat Sata. Life is only given to us for a season. And when that season is over, where are we going to lift up our eyes? Are we going to spend eternity with Christ, with the Father? Or are we going to be in hell, wailing and gnashing our teeth together, crying in pain and in agony, because this eternal life that we have now in the suffering in hell came because on the other side, on the flip side, when God gave us the opportunity to accept his Son and to change our lives, we didn't want to do it because we love the world so much. Let me tell you something. The world loves you, believe it or not, because you love it. And the world wants you to kill, to steal, to destroy. It wants you to do all the things that comes from worldly lust and worldly living, all the negative things. Why? Because it's governed by the enemy of our soul, that adversary, which is the devil. It's governed by him. And when you love the world so much and you love your life more than Christ, then you lose your opportunity to even have life in the kingdom. Living a good life is not being rich and wealthy, and though wealthy people can live a good life in Christ. But what I'm saying is that things don't make you have a good life, but having those things and having Christ too, because you know how to govern yourself with those things. You have money, but money don't have you. You got fine houses and clothes and riches and stuff like that, but it don't have you. You wouldn't kill to get this stuff, it doesn't have you. The Bible clearly states that it's not money now, because money answers all things, but it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. So I want to say to you once again this morning, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. Get in your scriptures. Study the word of the living God. Talk to the Father in your prayer time. And you're sitting a long time, turn the TV off, the telephone off, give him 10 minutes. Talk to him and then stop and listen to his response. Go your way. And if he don't speak to you then, he'll speak to you later. His ears are always tuned to us. He's always open to our cry. All he wants is a people that will seek him with our whole heart. Glory to God. Everything else, he'll take care of it. Jesus said, "I'll fix it. I'll set it in order." Glory to God. But all he needs is a people that will receive him as for who he is, the Messiah, the one sent from God, and accept him as their Savior and their Deliverer, and let God do the rest. We thank you. Praise God. Let us pray. Bishop is going to come and say a word or two to you, but before we do, we want to pray this morning over the souls, amen, and the people that are listening here this morning. We know that God is a God, glory to God, that created the heavens and the earth. We are here because of him. He is our true and living God. People are worshiping so many things today. I don't understand things that they made with their hand or somebody made and sent to them, but the true and the living God, the creator of the heavens and earth, people don't worship. So we're praying this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you heard our prayers. We thank you that you always hear our prayers. We thank you, Father, because, Lord, you look on us, Lord, even caught up in ourselves, Lord, Father. You have had mercy on us, and you yourself, Father God, have seen us, Father God, in our worst, Father. You've seen us in ways that other people have not seen us. So there's no secret from you, Father. You already know. You know our ins and outs and our ups and downs, Father. Father, we know that you know our thoughts afar off. We ask, like David said, that you would create in us a clean heart and renew the right spirit and the right mind on the inside so that the words in our mouths and the meditations in our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. We give ourselves over to you. We believe that Jesus Christ is your Son, and that you sent him here to be a propitiation for our sins. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you, Father, for the people that you have put under us, Lord God. We thank you that people that you have put us over. We thank you for our families, our children, and our loved ones. We thank you for the houses, the households that's listening on the radio right now, Father. We send your word out to that household, Father God, that according to Psalm 91, that they will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and that your protective covering will be around them, and no weapon formed against them shall prosper, glory to God, and every tongue that go out against them in the day of judgment shall be condemned. Father, we ask, Father God, that you would bring them and draw them to your kingdom. We give praise and blessings to you. Write your word on the tables of their hearts that they will not sin against you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I hope you got something out of our lesson this morning. Glory to God. And I'm surely inspired, amen, by what the Lord is doing in these last days. Not afraid, amen. So excited, amen, about how the Spirit of God is moving, amen. When we get a connection, amen, we stay connected. Glory to God. We love you. His Bishop, glory to God.
Praise the Lord. We thank God for the message this morning. We thank God. Praise God. Amen. Letting us know. Sometimes we already know and we already have everything we need, but then sometimes once we hear something over again, it refresh your memory. Like you go back and say, I had forgotten all about that. Then when you take the people that didn't have it, amen, but we got some understanding this morning that we have to be born again. There's no other way that you can do it. And this is something that nobody else can do for you. You have to do it for yourself. I'm a living witness. Glory to God. Amen. There's a difference. There's a change. Once you receive the Spirit of God down on the inside, there will be a change in you. It's like an eye-opener. It's like your ears begin to hear different. Your heart begin to receive different. You begin to, everything makes it different once you get baptized in that Holy Spirit. It's something about you can't do this journey on your own. I can tell you that myself. But if you have the Spirit of God, and it's not that hard. It's something that can't nobody else do for you that you got to do for your own self. And Jesus said, "You that have not the Spirit of God is not in faith." In other words, you can't be a part of the journey that you want to make and where you want to go at in God, except you have the Holy Spirit. And that's what Nicodemus was trying to find out about this thing about being born again. He know that you were born from your mother's womb, but he was wondering how could it be? And Jesus was letting him know, you have to be born of the Spirit. And I just want to thank God today, praise God, amen, for you and you. Amen. I hope this was a eye-opener today. I hope it was a door-opening, letting you know that you have to have the Spirit of God. There's no way that you can walk this walk without the Spirit of God. Somewhere along the line, you're just so, well, you know, it sounds like you're hearing life repeat itself. But once you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you'll be able to see this thing. You'll be able to see the gospel in a different light. So let us be mindful of it, even though we might not think it works, or we might think we don't need it. But try it anyway, and if it's nothing, I often say, don't just walk away from what you hear. Receive it. And if it's nothing, it'll burn it on away. But if it was something and you didn't receive it, then you cause a loss to yourself. But we thank God, amen. I know ain't nobody else like that out there like that. But if we know somebody, you can tell them about the Spirit of God. And I thank God for being able to come to you this morning. I thank God for the word that was blessed. Amen. If we want to receive this Spirit of God, it's not that hard. The Bible said it came by laying on the hand. But you can confess it with your mouth and believe that you already have it. And you shall have it. But I just want to thank God this morning for being able to come to you this morning, amen, being able to say a few words, amen. The apostle that I preached the word, glory to God, amen. And I hope it was a blessing to your heart. And let us make that change that we'll be able to receive the Spirit of God.
God bless you, everyone. Tasha Cobb, Leonard, and Kiara Shears. Come and breathe on us, Holy Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. I'm asking that you have a blessed week, a blessed day. God bless you in Jesus' name. Till next week, be encouraged in God.